It's Stephen Henderson, and today on the podcast, we're going to talk about the economic side of all of the excitement around the Detroit Lions' second home playoff game here in the city of Detroit. Yeah, it's a really great thing, but think of the billions we have invested in subsidies and foregone tax receipts to make these stadiums possible for these pro sports teams. Is this event, is this game the payback that we should be expecting? Or should there be more economic spinoff? We'll talk with Bill Shea, a sports business journalist, and David Barry, a sports economist from the University of Southern Utah, to talk about how we make sure there's real value in what we're investing in all of this sports. David, I'm going to start with you. When we think about how much value a sports team like the Lions provides to a city like Detroit and its fans, talk about from an economist's standpoint what the factors are that you take into account. How do we measure what the Lions do for Detroit?
I'm going to skip to the punchline for you and tell you that. Economists have looked at this for decades, over and over and over again. They've looked at the economic impact of the Super Bowl, of the World Series, of NCAA Men's Final Four, Daytona 500. The answer that comes back over and over and over again, and people like Victor Matheson at Holy Cross have made a career doing this, they keep coming to the same result. Sports does not create economic growth and does not create an economic impact. And even if the impact was 20 to 50 million, which it is not, the Detroit economy is 270 billion, and that 20 million is meaningless. That would not change anything in any meaningful way. That wouldn't show up in the data at all. And it's not 20 million. It just isn't plausible to think that these things create this massive economic impact. And there's some reasons why it wouldn't create an economic impact. I think the most important is to just understand that when people buy tickets to a sporting event, that's part of what they spend on entertainment. So if you're going to go to a Lions playoff game, there is something else you didn't go do. You had to get the money someplace. Mm-hmm. It's coming out of your budget somewhere. And so there's something else that you're not going to be doing. And that business that you're now not supporting is going to suffer. So you have to consider there's a positive. The Lions got money, but some other business didn't get money. And so when you think about the impact on the whole community, which includes both the Lions and the business that didn't get your money, the net impact is there really isn't any.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go on.
So I want to dig deeper into that because what the sports teams would argue, and I think some politicians who have made sure that the sports teams get the money to do this would argue, is that there is an effect, a capture effect, right, to all of this. And in particular, cities like Detroit that don't just subsidize the building of one stadium for one team, but have subsidized the building of three stadiums for four teams, right? So we've got basketball, football, baseball, and hockey all being played, I don't know, within six blocks of each other in downtown Detroit. A lot of people would say that there's something about concentrating all of that activity in a space that creates a mushroom effect, I guess, that matters to cities. Even if it's money that people would have spent elsewhere, they're spending it in the city's core, and that somehow helps that city from an economic standpoint. Can you talk about whether that makes sense from an economic standpoint?
Yeah, that's a cute story, but no.
It's not my story, but it's the story that I've been told.
That's a lovely story. That's very cute. But no, it does not work that way. It does not do that. And there would be no evidence in the data that actually...
But why? Why does that... You know, I think there's something intuitive that sports fans and people who love cities and city cores would think about, that would say to them that it does make sense. So tell me why they're wrong.
Because again, it doesn't make a difference. Let me actually do it this way. So I gave you one reason why sports don't create an economic impact, but I'm going to give you another one. So you put all the events in one spot in your city, and you have people coming in to do things when the games are. So another effect that economists who study this have pointed out is that there is literally a crowding out effect, because when an event happens in that particular part of the city, and people know that event is going to happen, then on that particular day at that particular time, the people who are normally going to go to that spot of the city to do business are not going to go at that time, because the crowd is going to be there. And so all of those businesses don't get business right at that moment, because people are saying, well, I needed to be, maybe there's a dry cleaner I needed to go to, or maybe there's a restaurant I wanted to go to, or maybe there's some business down there that I wanted to go to at that, and at that moment in time, I'm not doing that, because I'm not going to go through that whole crowd to do that. So there's that effect. There's also the fact that when you're investing in sports teams, a lot of what you're investing in is leaking out of your community, because a lot of the people who are associated with the sports team don't live in Detroit. And so the money that you're giving them goes outside your city. It leaks out of the city. So those are the three reasons. Is that people, they don't have an unlimited entertainment budget, crowds drive people away, and people with sports teams live elsewhere. Those are the reasons why, when they do the empirical study and they look at the data, they say, look, we don't find these massive effects from sporting events. It just doesn't happen. And when you think about something like football with the Lions, again, I'm a Lions fan. I grew up in Detroit. So I am very, very happy that they're winning. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy. And it is definitely the case that people in Detroit are happy. And so no one wants to say that's not true. You're definitely happy. You're just not richer. You're not going to be any richer because this happened. You're just going to be happier because it happened. And with football, the problem you have is that the Lions, even if they were creating economic impact, they'd only play a handful of home games in a year. So a big chunk of the year, Ford Field is just a big giant empty building. And big giant empty buildings don't create economic growth. No one should think that would be true, right? So these things just don't create the economic impact that you think they do. The reason why you build stadiums is because the owners say, A, this makes you happy, and B, if you're not going to be convinced by that argument, if you don't build me a stadium, I'm going to take my team that makes you happy and take it someplace else.
Yeah.
And then you won't be happy at all, now will you? So that's kind of how this ends up happening. It's not because at the end of the day, you have a sports team in your downtown area and everybody sees their paychecks go up. That's not what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Bill Shea, I want to bring you into the conversation here. You're somebody who has covered all of this activity in Detroit for a long time, watched us lure the Lions from Pontiac and the Pistons from Auburn Hills, saw us construct new stadiums for the Tigers and the Red Wings, who already played down here. As I said in the intro, you're someone who's been a long time skeptic of this pitch that we get that, look, this is about economic activity as well as fandom. But I wonder what you make of what we're seeing right now with four teams in downtown Detroit, a playoff run in January, something we haven't seen in a really long time in this city. Is it worth this massive investment that we've made, like I said, to the tune of billions of dollars at this point, to make sure that this is possible?
I guess it really depends on your POV. For Lions fans right now, they're going to think it's absolutely worth it. If you're a member of the Ford family or the Illich family, you certainly think it's worth it. There is the intangibles of civic pride, and there is value in that. Is that value equivalent to the unrealized tax receipts? Because these buildings are publicly owned, and there's no real estate taxes. You know, there's no they're not paying taxes on these enormous facilities, whether they're full or not, especially in a city like Detroit that has struggled for so long with disinvestment and all of the, you know, the all of the other things we've talked about for so long. I'm not sure it's worth it, but, you know, Detroit's always been sort of a unique case in the hollowing out of the city for all of the reasons we have talked about. This came in, you know, I'm sure there's a handful of bars and restaurants that will have a nice Sunday and things like that. But I would point out it's as much like the lottery. You know, it's not a windfall for the schools. Mm-hmm. They have come to rely on that money. Bars and restaurants and hotels, whether locally or owned by owners elsewhere, have come to rely on Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Lions games as part of their budgeting process. Playoff games are a little bit extra, but again, most of that money is going to the Ford family, the other 31 NFL owners, TV networks, things like that. I think it really comes down to an optics question here. You know, the Romans building their Colosseums and chariot race facilities and things didn't try to sell the plebs on this being, you know, everybody was going to fart through silk togas afterwards. They build it because people wanted it. And, you know, it's like we build roads and libraries and things. There is public utility for that. There's public utility and entertainment. Don't sell it as we're all going to be rich and better off. You know, our sports fandom may be, but there's a lot of people who are not Lions fans or Pistons and Red Wings fans. Mm-hmm. And they're paying the freight on this, too. I think if this stuff had just been sold as, hey, we're going to help build a stadium, and not try to peddle these fantasy numbers and that it's going to be a billion new jobs or, you know, what all that stuff. Just say people want it, so we're gonna do it. And I think there'd be fewer of these conversations, although it's still a question, should a bankrupt city have been building or helping out these incredibly rich people? You know, I'm sitting here looking at the numbers for Ford Field. Mm-hmm. You know, DDA Tax District, $70 million, the city, $15 million, Stadium Authority, $20 million, Wayne County, $20 million. Lions, $325 million. You know, that was back in 2002. Mm-hmm. And things got worse in the city after that. And we've in this century have built three modern, I mean, they're great facilities. And they bring people joy, and a niche of people get money out of it. It's sort of one of the great philosophical questions of, why do we do this? I know politicians will green light this stuff because they've seen what happens in other markets where teams leave, like Cleveland. That was a political disaster for elected officials, and yeah, they get fearful of, you know, the threats of leaving. Not that the Fords or Illiches, I don't think we're ever going to move their teams because their businesses are here. But, you know, when the Cleveland Browns left in 1996 for Baltimore, there were seismic shockwaves outside of football, you know, in that market. So, you know, you can make the argument there is civic value, pride, political protectionism. But, man, it's I think it just comes down to how they sell this stuff to people.
Yeah. I was going to have you talk a little about what happened in Cleveland. Bill, I know you're an Ohioan, you know, the devastation that attended the Browns leaving Cleveland for Baltimore. And of course, now they've got another NFL franchise, a new one that's also called the Browns in Cleveland to make up for that. But can you talk about that from a marketing perspective, a city that loses a franchise like that, the blow to all kinds of things that end up having economic implications? I mean, it's not as if that would happen without consequence. What was that like in Cleveland? And, you know, are they able to even recover from that with a new team, which, of course, is doing much better than the old Browns did when they were in Cleveland?
Well, I'd argue it took a long time for the new Browns to get better than the old Browns did.
Right.
the Lions are doing what the Browns did about 2019, 2020. But no, I mean, losing the Browns, especially because, you know, the then owner, Art Modell, was just an incompetent businessman. He had a full stadium every Sunday of 77,000 insane people. Mm-hmm. back in the 90s. He was just bad at it. And he moved the team to Baltimore and still had to end up selling what became the Ravens. And I would point out the Browns are actually considered the same franchise that just went on hiatus. The the actual franchise was kept in trust for 3 years
in Cleveland,
they returned.
Yeah.
But there were some small businesses and stuff, but Cleveland was already in its fully into its renaissance period. You know, the Drew Carey show was on TV, Civic Pride, all of that. So yeah, it hurt. But you know, the stadium was jutting out, you know, it was this old 1930s rubble of a building, which I loved. It did not hamper the physical renaissance of downtown Cleveland. It was going to happen regardless. You know, I think the sports venues make it a little sexier because it appeals to that sort of tribalism that sports fans have. You know, I've been in Michigan now almost 25 years. I'll never not be a Browns fan, although they, with the quarterback they signed, that doesn't make me real happy about being a Browns fan. David and other economists can talk far more smartly about this than I can. I think most of the effects of loss are small. I've never worried about the political careers of mayors and city council people and things like that who are scared of losing their positions because a team may move. They should also be scared of pissing away money on billionaire sports teams when their schools are struggling and roads are, you know, going unplowed or unpaved. EMS, you know, I've been to Detroit a long time, and I remember when the EMS drivers had to use paper maps in the 21st century to find fires and sick people and things like that. That's insane. Mm-hmm. And here we are handing money away to some of the wealthiest people in human history. It doesn't seem like sound public policy to me. Especially, you know, this isn't San Francisco. This isn't, you know, the heyday of Miami in the 80s. You know, this is a city that struggles for all the reasons we've talked about for a long time.
Yeah. These are poor communities.
People, they are. And the money is extracted from poor people and middle-class people and some rich people, but it rubs me the wrong way when we're handing checks or, you know, saying rich people don't have to pay the taxes in a struggling city. Downtown Detroit looks a lot better than when I lived down in Lafayette Park. Yeah. You get outside of the downtown and there's still a lot of love that the city of Detroit needs. And I, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of seeing these enormous, you know, cathedrals of sports not on the tax rolls, for, you know, operated by people that sure as hell can afford to pay those taxes.
Yeah. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Want to know what you think, our listeners, on the phones. And let's start today with Inez in Detroit. Inez, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning.
Hey.
I would like to respectfully disagree with the gentleman that you're speaking with.
Okay.
Out of the 60s and someone that grew up during the riots and remembering the negative energy that went out during that time throughout the world regarding the city of Detroit, this to me is the greatest advertisement to let people know what the city is truly about. It's not so much, the revenue is important, I understand that, but for us to go out in the world and let people see what we are about, what this city is about, what the growth that we're going to have for what's going on. I just think it's a wonderful thing. I just think that the imagery, the advertising, and letting people see what the city is truly about is, to me, reflects everything.
Inez, I really appreciate you calling and giving us that perspective, especially as someone who's been here in the city for a long time and remembers some pretty dark days when Detroit was a place that people were happy to leave, excited to leave, in a way that we don't see right now. I do think there's a gap between what you're talking about and the economic case, the direct economic case to be made for stadiums and teams and the subsidies that they now absolutely require, demand of us in our cities. But I think that's a really important perspective. David Barry, I'll give you first crack at responding to Inez.
Well, that is exactly the argument people advance for why you want your city to host the Olympics or host the World Cup. And again, economists study these events, and hosting sporting events, it does put your city on the map in a sense. People get to see it, and so people around the world are paying attention to you. But when you study the numbers and you look at the actual economic impact of this, there isn't any. And the way to think about it is, think about sporting events like you are throwing a big giant party. And a lot of people are coming in, and they're happy, and they're having a good time, and people are seeing them having a good time in your city. And that's certainly positive, right? But nobody thinks when they throw a party, you can't pitch a party to your family or your roommates and say, we're going to throw a party in our apartment or a house, and it's going to create economic growth for our house. We're going to be richer because we threw this party. Nobody thinks that. You pitch it, we're going to be happier because we throw the party. And that is true. You're going to be happier. People are going to like you. That is true. But you're not getting richer because you did it.
Yeah. So David, I also want to have you address something we were talking about earlier on the show, earlier in the week. Detroit is almost anomalous in the sense that we do not collect taxes from the sales of tickets at any of these venues for any of these teams, or for the entertainment that happens in those venues when the teams aren't playing. I have struggled to find another city with professional sports teams that doesn't do that. But let's say we did institute that kind of tax here in the city of Detroit. Does that make it more worth it? A simple $2 excise tax, for instance, on tickets sold at our professional sports teams would raise something like $20 to $24 million a year. It's not a little bit of money. Of course, you could do more than that. Is that part of the answer here? Given that we've already built these things, can't tear them down, should we be looking for ways to put money back in our own pockets?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. You definitely should be taxing it. I mean, the fact that sports fans are – the reason why the Lions are raising ticket prices is because sports fans are addicted to the team.
They'll
and
pay
they
it.
Can't let it
right.
go, yeah. and they'll pay it. And so there's no reason in the world why a city can't act on that same thing and say, okay, well, you're addicted. We're going to just throw two more dollars on that. You'll give it to us. Because you're addicted, you're still going to pay it. So to me, not taking the money that's just sitting there, that's not good. That's not a good thing to be doing. You should just take the money. It won't justify, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in expense and tax and not charging taxes and subsidies. It won't justify that. But it's something, and you shouldn't just let the money just go away. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And I would jump in here and say that illustrates, because there used to be ticket taxes at Joe Louis Arena and things like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say that is, you know, defense exhibit A of the power of Detroit's ruling class, the Illiches, the Fords, Gilbert, Goras, and all of them, and that they didn't want to pay, have their facilities and their teams pay out ticket taxes. So they didn't have to do that. You know, the Illiches for a long time, and people can argue this to the end of the time, that, you know, they're billed as the saviors of downtown Detroit. And they do get full credit for moving Little Caesars downtown when all the moving trucks were going the other way. Yes, they have invested. They have put literal skin in the game, and they have put out money. But their expectation is, in return, they get a lot of public money. They don't pay a lot of taxes, and they're sure as hell don't want to have, you know, their customers paying ticket taxes that every other city in the country does. You know, the oligarchy here is incredibly powerful, and this is an example of, you know, the politicians in this town, many of them who go to work for these individuals afterwards, George Jackson. So
take a shot at George.
There you go.
There. Don't do that.
Yeah. So there you go. Like that's an example of them just with a pinky flexing their power and what they get or don't want to have to do.
Yeah. I want to end with Bill, you talking about your predictions. You cover sports. What's going to happen on Sunday and into the playoffs?
I think Sunday in downtown it's going to be which Jared Goff shows up, turnover Jared Goff or gunslinger amazing Jared Goff, and on the opposite other sideline it's which Baker Mayfield shows up.
That's right.
I still wish he was playing for the Browns because I think the Browns would be in the Super Bowl with him at quarterback. And the other thing is if Green Bay can upset San Francisco and the Lions win and the NFC Championship game is here, I think Detroit goes to its first Super Bowl.
Goes to the first Super Bowl, yeah. That's what we all want. All right, Bill Shea and David Barry, it was really great to have both of you here to help us explore this question on Detroit Today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.
Today's episode of Detroit Today was produced by Sam Corey and Nick Austin. Our technical director and engineer is Nate Bender. Our assistant producer is Maddie Boyer. Editing and mixing is by Connor Anderson. Our music is by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. Our podcast manager is David Lyons, and our program director is Adam Fox. Detroit Today is a production of WDET Public Radio. If you love the conversations we have on Detroit Today, consider donating to WDET, the public radio station in Detroit that we call home. If you want to be a part of the conversation and call in, you can listen live every day on WDET.org or on the WDET mobile app. Or if you live in Southeast Michigan and still love listening to good old-fashioned radio like me, tune in to 101.9 FM.